Ever found yourself in a meeting where the leader's words seemed to evaporate into thin air the moment they were spoken? Now imagine that same leader beginning with, "Let me tell you a story," and watching as the entire room leans forward in anticipation. This simple shift represents the profound difference between forgettable communication and leadership that inspires action. In Lead with a Story, Paul Smith reveals how the ancient art of storytelling has reclaimed its rightful place in modern business leadership. Drawing from his experience as a consumer researcher and marketing executive at Procter & Gamble, Smith demonstrates why today's most successful organizations, Microsoft, Nike, 3M, Disney, P&G, have intentionally embraced storytelling as their key leadership tool. Many have even designated corporate storytellers, teach storytelling skills, and have replaced bullet points with strategic narratives. What makes this approach so powerful? Before PowerPoint presentations and formal business structures existed, the six most compelling words in any language were, "Let me tell you a story." This fundamental human connection hasn't changed. It's simply been rediscovered by leaders who understand that experience might be the best teacher, but a compelling story comes in a close second. A powerful vision story transforms how people perceive their work and inspires them to action. Consider the classic tale of three bricklayers. When asked what they were doing, the first grumbled, "Laying bricks." The second explained matter-of-factly about building a wall with specific dimensions. The third, though performing identical work, enthusiastically replied, "I am building the greatest cathedral the world has ever known." When an argument broke out about an errant brick, this third man quickly resolved it by explaining how it wouldn't matter in the finished structure. This simple story illustrates how understanding the larger purpose improves not just personal satisfaction, but leadership ability. Such narratives prepare audiences for new company goals or strategies far better than abstract mission statements. Creating an inspiring vision requires crafting stories that go beyond generic goals like being number one. In 2002, when Smith led a struggling team of P&G market researchers, he shared a day-in-the-life story depicting a forecaster named Sherry 2 years in the future, successfully navigating challenges with new tools and processes. The story showed how proposed changes would transform their work lives, ending with colleagues thanking Sherry for her valuable contributions. The first response was immediate. "Wow, I want that to be my story 2 years from now. I'm in." For ambitious visions that seem unattainable, stories can demonstrate possibility. When leading a team planning P&G's paper division's 20-year future, Smith shared Nokia's evolution from a Finnish paper mill in 1865 to a global communications giant. This story showed that strategic expansion beyond current industry boundaries was both necessary and achievable, inspiring every team member to commit to the long-term planning mission. Unlike politics, where goals are crystal clear and commitment levels extremely high, business often lacks the same urgency. Ben LaRocco's experience in political campaigns demonstrates this contrast perfectly. After finishing his political science degree, Ben worked 5 different campaign jobs in 4 years, experiencing the brutal reality of campaign seasons, long days, no social life, and constant self-motivation. In one early campaign for an Ohio State congressional candidate, Ben learned a painful lesson when his candidate lost by just 22 votes out of 34,000 cast, a margin of 49.96% to 50.04%. This devastating experience transformed his approach. He began posting calendar pages on the wall with daily and weekly goals, specific numbers of phone calls to make, money to raise, and doors to knock on. Every morning he asked himself, "What will I do today better than my competition?" And every night, "Did I win or lose today?" This political campaign mentality can be adapted to business, as Pledger Monk demonstrated at Merrill Lynch. When financial advisor Toby Burkett sought coaching, Pledger established an audacious goal of 50% revenue increase and created a point system for client-winning activities. 4 points for calling a prospect, 10 for meeting one. Success meant earning 45 points daily. When another advisor joined the coaching, Pledger turned it into a competition, with the first to reach 2,500 points declared winner. This transformed their approach completely. Now they focused on outscoring each other daily rather than just hitting minimum targets. Toby won by reaching 2,500 points in 7 weeks, and his production rose 47% by year-end and 76% by the following August. Building commitment also requires personal accountability. Bob McDonald learned at West Point that only 4 responses were acceptable when addressed by a superior officer. Yes, sir, no, sir, I don't understand, sir, and no excuse, sir. The power of no excuse, sir, was reinforced years later when his 6-year-old daughter Jenny used the same phrase when confronted about her messy room, acknowledging the issue, taking responsibility, and promising improvement in 7 simple words. Leading change requires overcoming multiple barriers, helping people accept change as needed, preparing them for it, and managing unexpected obstacles. Jack Welch, Fortune's Manager of the Century, demonstrated this brilliantly during a visit to GE's nuclear reactor business. When presented with plans assuming 3 new reactor orders annually, the historical norm, Welch delivered a sobering reality check. You'll never get another order for a nuclear reactor in the U.S. Despite protests about morale, he insisted they pivot to a service model for existing reactors. The business transformed, growing earnings from $14 million to $116 million in just 2 years. 20 years later, when Welch retired, his prediction remained true. Not a single new U.S. reactor order had materialized. Even when people recognize change is necessary, human resistance remains. Evelyn Clark, a Seattle-based workshop leader, discovered a profound insight while helping a company transition its order processing department into proactive sales. During her retreat, a participant shared a story about his 6-year-old twins facing a school bus pickup location change. One twin remained calm because the new spot was visible from his classroom window, while the other grew increasingly anxious. The night before, the father took his nervous son through a practice run, walking the route, identifying a classmate to follow, and rehearsing what to say. The child immediately calmed down and slept peacefully. The revelation? People aren't afraid of change itself, but of being unprepared for it. Sometimes environmental changes can bypass resistance entirely. Martin Hedditch shared how his Panama office solved their clean desk policy compliance issues accidentally. When they implemented a system requiring employees to enter their ID at the printer before documents would print to reduce paper waste, they inadvertently eliminated the problem of confidential documents left unattended overnight. Unlike memos from leadership or recognition programs, this solution worked universally by making compliance the path of least resistance. Making recommendations that truly stick requires moving beyond traditional presentations to more engaging approaches. In 2000, while working in P&G's diaper business, Smith had to present a 5-year strategy to the leadership team. Instead of starting with his recommendation, he took them on a discovery journey. He showed data revealing that for the first 21 years, 1961 to 1982, sales volume and profits were perfectly correlated in the diaper business. But surprisingly, from 1983 to 2000, there was absolutely no correlation between the two. He then asked what might have happened in 1983 to change this fundamental relationship. After several guesses, someone correctly identified that 1983 was when the disposable diaper market reached full penetration, when virtually all U.S. households with babies had converted from cloth to disposable diapers. The market had transitioned from developing to developed, yet their strategy hadn't evolved accordingly. By letting the audience discover this insight themselves, Smith's conclusions became their conclusions, and his recommendations became their recommendations. This discovery journey technique creates powerful mental and emotional markers in memory and transforms your ideas into their ideas. Another powerful technique is using metaphor to capture an entire story in just a few words. when Alltel CEO Scott Ford met with the private equity firms who had purchased his company, he used just two slides instead of dozens. The first showed a tightrope walker crossing Niagara Falls, illustrating the balance between customer service and financial returns. The second showed a man hailing a yellow cab in New York City, representing the rare convergence of events needed for a profitable sale: the right buyer, favorable interest rates, and amenable regulatory conditions. A year later, when Verizon offered $28.1 billion for the company, one executive called Scott and immediately recognized, "This is the yellow cab, isn't it, Scott?" The metaphor had perfectly prepared them to recognize and seize the opportunity. Exceptional customer service stories can be powerful tools for defining success and inspiring employees, but only if they're properly captured and shared. Sterling Price's story from the 1980s demonstrates this perfectly. As a Pizza Hut cook, he went beyond the menu to make a meatball sandwich for a desperate customer whose sick husband had lost his appetite. The next day, the woman called to thank Sterling and revealed that her husband had passed away during the night. The sandwich had been his last meal. Despite being the kind of heartwarming story PR managers dream about, it never spread beyond Sterling's immediate coworkers because nobody wrote it down. A priceless company asset went to waste. Contrast this with Ray Brooks' experience at National Car Rental. When Ray discovered his driver's license had expired on his birthday, making him ineligible to rent a car despite his packed business schedule, the national manager didn't just apologize, he offered solutions. First, suggesting they could drive Ray wherever he needed to go, then devising a plan to take him to his first appointment and then to the DMV to renew his license. When they discovered the DMV was closed on Mondays, national agents drove Ray to his hotel without charging him, helped him arrange taxis for the day, and the next morning took him to his final appointment before waiting while he renewed his license at the DMV. The manager even updated Ray's profile with the new license date to prevent problems at his next destination. The key difference between these equally impressive service stories? Someone wrote down the national story, allowing it to become a powerful teaching tool. Today's leaders should create easy ways for customers to share their experiences, as Sue Soldo did after her stay at Adobe Grand Villas. When Sue accidentally left her expensive custom mouthguard behind, innkeeper Tanya went dumpster diving to recover it, earning Sue's permanent loyalty and a glowing TripAdvisor review read by nearly 1,000 potential guests. Such stories not only market your business, but show staff what's expected of them, creating a virtuous cycle of exceptional service. While there's no single correct story structure, business leaders need a simple, effective framework. The most natural structure follows the CAR pattern: context, action, result. Context is the most frequently underdeveloped element in business storytelling, yet it's crucial for making stories comprehensible and engaging. Effective context addresses four key questions: where and when does the story take place? Who is the main character? What does the character want? And who or what stands in their way? The setting immediately signals whether your audience is hearing fact or fiction. Being transparent about this maintains credibility. The main character should be someone your audience can identify with, not a superhero they can't relate to. The character's objective, the treasure, and the obstacle or villain opposing them are equally essential. Stories without challenges to overcome lack authenticity and learning value. The action section shows the hero battling the villain, with ups and downs that create excitement and deliver lessons. The result explains the ending, teaches the right lesson, and links back to why you told the story. Remember this structure as CAR equals subject, treasure, obstacle, right lesson, and link back to why. A common structural error is reversing context and action, starting with action, confusing the audience, then backtracking to provide context. This happens because we remember the exciting action most vividly. The Titleist golf ball marketing story demonstrates how proper CAR structure creates a more coherent narrative than the confusing action context result pattern. The proper structure establishes the situation, Titleist's market share challenges, shows what happened, launching the NXT ball with different features, and concludes with outcomes and lessons learned. Culture is defined by behavior and reinforced through stories. Organizations can't simply declare values, they must demonstrate them through actions that become powerful narratives. Rasul Madadi's experience during the 2011 Egyptian Revolution illustrates this perfectly. When violence erupted in Cairo, P&G proved employees were truly their most valuable asset by mobilizing global resources to help Rasul and his family escape. The company secured multiple flight tickets, arranged accommodations, and provided financial support without hesitation. This story circulates within P&G, reinforcing a culture where employees feel genuinely valued. Stories of both positive and negative leadership behavior powerfully shape organizational culture. The stark contrast between Charles Revson firing a receptionist for enforcing rules he violated versus Tom Watson of IBM respecting a security guard for upholding badge requirements demonstrates how leadership actions become defining cultural narratives. Even negative stories can be instructive when they include consequences or confrontation, as with John Mack at Morgan Stanley reprimanding a traitor for keeping a delivery person waiting. These stories circulate for decades, establishing behavioral norms more effectively than any official policy. Unspoken employee norms trump official policies in defining workplace culture. While many companies have flexible work arrangement policies, the true test is whether employees feel comfortable using them. P&G demonstrated genuine cultural support for FWA by publicly celebrating stories like Sylvia Poras, who received extended maternity leave after having triplets and was allowed to work from home 3 days weekly upon return. By sharing such stories broadly through company media, organizations can bridge the gap between written policies and lived cultural reality. Value statements are merely words until tested through difficult choices between doing what's right versus what's convenient. Stories of values in action demonstrate these principles far more effectively than bullet points. The UK supermarket CEO, who parked at the lot's far end during a downpour, ruining his expensive suit to honor the customer-first policy, created a powerful narrative that spread throughout the company, reinforcing values more effectively than any memo or training session could. Stories uniquely demonstrate corporate values by showing the uncomfortable predicaments that truly define them. Northwestern Mutual's founding story exemplifies this. When a train accident in 1859 killed two policyholders with claims totaling $3,500, but the company only had $2,000 in assets, President Samuel Daggett and trustees personally borrowed money to pay claims in full. This story, still told today, gives claims adjusters clear guidance when facing difficult choices between profitability and doing right by policyholders in ways bullet point value statements cannot. Sometimes living up to company values requires creativity. Martin Neuchtern, a disciplined P&G executive who believed leaders should live the company values visibly, once received expensive opera tickets that exceeded P&G's $25 gift limit. When the advertising agency deliberately avoided telling him the price, Martin later called the opera house, learned the cost, and made a donation in the name of the account manager's dog, Gilda. This clever solution allowed him to pay for the tickets while gently reminding others to uphold company values with creativity. Building collaborative relationships often begins with discovering shared values. When a new manager joined a Washington State organization, tension immediately developed with the former manager who became his assistant. At a team-building retreat, facilitator Evelyn Clark had everyone create collages representing their past, present, and future, then share their life stories. Despite apparent differences, the two managers discovered they shared the same faith and prioritized family, transforming their relationship from adversarial to collaborative. This confirmed Clark's belief that discovering common values through storytelling builds productive relationships. Jamie Johnson, a talented consumer researcher, joined SEEK determined to build deeper workplace relationships than at previous jobs where he'd been robotic and kept work separate from personal life. Despite his friendly attitude, a year later, his connections remained superficial. Realizing he wasn't using the same techniques that helped research subjects open up to him, self-deprecating humor, finding common interests, and especially showing vulnerability, Jamie took a risk at a company celebration by sharing the deeply personal story of his brother's suicide. This tragedy had taught Jamie to stop taking life for granted and inspired his volunteer work with youth sports and suicide prevention. His vulnerability transformed shallow workplace relationships into meaningful connections, with colleagues showing genuine interest in his life and dreams. Jamie found his team performed better as people stopped watching the clock as much when they're working with someone they care about. Tom, a partner at a global consulting firm, faced a crisis when a Fortune 100 client needed to cancel his team's retainer due to an impending earnings miss. Rather than walking away, Tom leveraged his firm's monthly challenge system, a competition where partners present challenging client problems anonymously to teams worldwide. Within 48 hours, thousands of consultants were working on the problem, and within 3 weeks, they identified similar cases and three creative solutions. This story-sharing system not only saved the client relationship, but demonstrates how swapping work stories creates both practical solutions and stronger bonds between colleagues. When clinical leadership fails to inspire, stories can energize teams through emotional connection. Roger Wasson's experience with the Almond Board of California demonstrates extraordinary resilience during organizational crisis. When a court ruled their mandatory membership model unconstitutional in 1993, the board was forced to cease marketing activities and refund dues dating back to 1980. Simultaneously, Roger had to relocate offices from Sacramento to Modesto, losing nearly his entire staff in the process. Rather than giving up, Roger boldly rebuilt his team, even hiring marketing professionals despite their work being legally prohibited. He maintained unwavering confidence that the court decision would be overturned, focusing meanwhile on almond health research. His persistence paid off when the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 in the board's favor in 1997. With plans already developed, his team immediately implemented their marketing strategy with fivefold increased funding. The results were remarkable. Annual California almond sales tripled from £367 million to £1.1 billion between 1995-2002. When facing repeated failures, Abraham Lincoln's story provides the ultimate lesson in persistence. From childhood hardship through decades of professional setbacks, Lincoln's journey shows that greatness often follows multiple defeats. Losing his mother at 9, facing business bankruptcy at 24, suffering a broken engagement and nervous breakdown, and losing multiple political races, Lincoln experienced failure at nearly every turn. Yet, at 51, after a lifetime of disappointments, he became the 16th President of the United States. During his brief 4 years in office before assassination, he successfully led America through the Civil War, preserved the Union, ended slavery, and rededicated the nation to equality and democracy. The Pringles story offers a business parallel to Lincoln's perseverance. After initial success in 1971, Pringles experienced devastating sales declines, dropping 20% in 1976, another 10% the following year, and plummeting 30% by 1979. With sales down 60% over 4 years, P&G executives delivered an ultimatum: fix the brand within 5 years or sell it. Through consumer research, product improvements, new advertising, price reductions, and cost savings, they slowly turned the tide. By 1982, sales began growing again, reaching 10 million cases by 1989 and over 50 million by the late 1990s. The key lesson, as P&G executive Mike Milligan summarized, don't stop. The single biggest barrier to storytelling is not having stories to tell. The solution is to collect stories proactively from three main sources: your own past experiences, events you witness around you, and stories from others. For personal stories, examine your greatest successes and failures, moments of inspiration, and significant learning experiences. When observing potential stories, look for unexpected lessons or unusual ways lessons are taught. For collecting other stories, directly ask people for their stories. Hold storytelling contests, organize storytelling sessions, conduct formal interviews with specific questions, and search online resources and media for relevant narratives. While companies database everything measurable, they rarely preserve their richest source of wisdom, stories. Without documentation, important stories get reduced to ineffective bullet points that lose their impact and meaning, like Jason Zoller's jury room table story reduced to 6 sterile points. The power of the original narrative becomes completely impotent, with minimal chance of being shared or influencing behavior. Don't let this happen to your stories. Write them down and save them. Storytelling doesn't require special venues. It belongs wherever leadership happens, in meetings, hallway conversations, speeches, one-on-one discussions, emails, memos, and presentations. Stories can enhance existing communication channels, like training sessions, websites, newsletters, and team meetings. Many leaders create dedicated storytelling opportunities. David Armstrong posted stories on bulletin boards, included them in paychecks, framed them on walls, recorded them on CDs, and broadcast them on factory TVs. Some companies establish storytelling events and clubs. In short, it's hard to imagine anywhere stories don't belong. Beyond achieving your intended objectives, one sign of successful storytelling is when your stories spread virally and return to you in altered form, as happened with the author's diaper business story. The essence of becoming a true storyteller is developing the agony Maya Angelou described of bearing an untold story. When you feel an uncontrollable urge to share a compelling story, you'll know you've become a storyteller.